2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 9, Paul writes to Timothy, and as he writes this, you'll see that Paul is on a roller coaster of emotions in these last few verses. He's up and he's down and he's depressed and he's lonely. And you said, well, he's a great man of God. I didn't think he experienced that. All men of God experience that, especially on Monday morning. But especially as they go through their life, and this was the very end of Paul's life when he's writing this, and he realizes he doesn't have a lot of time left. And I wonder about myself, if I knew that I didn't have very much time left, and often that happens at home, depending on my actions, but if I knew for a surety that I didn't have very many days left, what would I do? Who would I speak to, and what would I write? So here we see Paul writing in these last verses, and you're going to see some joy, and you'll see some depression, and you'll see some loneliness. But Paul's just a human being that was greatly used by God. And we'll see that in these verses. Verse number 9, we're going to read through all the verses, and then we'll go back and try to break them down a little bit. Verse number 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychius have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, or be aware of also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Some very important verses for us, because as we read this, we're going to see a catalog of friends and foes. Different types of people and different names. Now, in America, we don't think too much about names of our children and what they mean. Some people are just, I think they're very casual about how they name their kids. My brother taught in school in Chicago, and he said there were people there. He said, I think their parents took Scrabble pieces, about 10 or 12 of them, and put them in a can and shook them out, and whatever came out, they named their child. But here in the scripture, it's a little different. They thought about names before they gave them to people, to their children, and what they meant. And all these names have a meaning. You say, well, why would God, in his inspiration of the scripture, as Paul writes this through the Holy Spirit, why would he list all these names? I mean, that's not important to me. These people lived, you know, hundreds of years ago. It's not important to me. But it is because of their character and what those names meant and what they meant to Paul. He says in verse 9, he tells Timothy to come, do your diligence to come shortly, before wintertime. See, Paul was in a prison, and they had the seasons there where he was at. And as those seasons changed, the daylight changed. Sometimes he didn't have enough light to read on the short days. They didn't have electricity in those days, or the conveniences that our prisoners do nowadays. They didn't have electric light bulbs. They didn't have heaters in those prisons. So winter was coming, and it was going to be cold, and Paul knew that. So here he's alone, and he's encouraging Timothy, do your diligence to come shortly. Don't dilly-dally around. He said, you need to come. But when you come, he said, there's some things I want you to bring. Notice that the names in here that are recorded, they're recorded for all human history and for eternity. And I often think about how will my name be remembered. My dad used to instruct me all the time. Many times when I get ready to leave the house and go out and frolic, he would say, son, remember who you are, whose you are, and what name that you carry with you. And that always stuck with me, that my name was important. So as we leave this world, and it's not a bad idea for Christians. I have a document that's prepared. When I die, I want people to read it. The title of it is He Will Be Remembered. And I want people to know what I would be remembered for, or hope to be remembered for. Some of these men here were remembered for great service and great things. Some were shamed because of their life. The first ones we want to look at as those that strayed. Okay, verse 10, if you notice, he said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." See, Demas, that name means popular. He was a very popular, charismatic guy. And he worked with Paul, but he was guilty of desertion. He could not be counted on. He had been a fellow laborer with Paul. Philemon tells us that, and also in Philemon 24 and in Colossians 4:14. But something went terribly wrong with Demas, because Paul leaves him with no remark of any kind. He said, "Demas hath forsaken me." End of story. He said, why? Because he had a worldly spirit. He loved the present world more than he loved God and the people of God. But he also had a cowardly spirit. Now you have to understand the Apostle Paul, and I think that's why I like to read of him and with him, because I kind of relate to that. I don't have a lot of patience with people that bail out. I want people to be strong. I want them to suck it up and just let's go. Let's get going. That's just me. That's my choleric personality. And I think Paul was a very strong choleric, and he gave orders and he expected people to follow him. And as he did with the Demas here, he was really heartbroken because Demas had forsook him. He left when Paul needed him the most. He was in the prison there. He needed some companionship. He needed help. Demas was gone. How many people in your life that when you needed them the most, they left? They weren't there. Think about it. These are names that we can all relate to with people that we know. He went off and he left Paul depressed. Secondly, he goes on to speak about those that strayed was Alexander. The word Alexander means warrior. And he was guilty of direct opposition to the gospel. See, note some things about Alexander. First of all, his position. Paul said, "He did me much evil." I believe that was probably physically, financially, and especially spiritually. He withstood our words. That was his peril. He withstood our words in verse 15. And then his punishment, Paul left up to the Lord. He said, "The Lord reward him," in verse 14. Those are the two men that we have in this particular scripture that strayed. Now we want to look at some men that stayed. This is where I want to be counted, those that stayed. The first one he talks about is Crescens. Crescens, the name meant growing. He was sent by Paul to Galatia to minister there, but Paul missed him very much. He was a good fellow servant, and he was growing in the Lord, and he sent him out to do some work into Galatia. Paul had written that church at Galatia. Brother Ken taught that series. And we know that how Judaism had crept in and legalism had crept in, and that had to be corrected. And Paul wanted somebody to follow up and be there. This is something that I see in the Apostle Paul's life was just like Christ. When Christ came to the end of his life, he made sure everything was taken care of before he left this world. Everything. Even his mom. He looked at John and he said, "That's your mother now. You take care of her just like she was your own mom." His family affairs, everything was done when his life ended. Paul wanted to be the same way. He wanted all the bases covered. He wanted the ministry to continue and everybody do what they're supposed to do. So as he left Crescens to Galatia was to minister there. Titus is the next one he mentions that stayed. Titus, the name means pleasing. He was one of Paul's close associates. Matter of fact, he was the other preacher boy. He had Timothy and he had Titus. And the next letter that you read in sequence in the scripture, it's after this in our scripture, but actually he wrote it before. But what he wrote to Titus was his other preacher boy. The one that he taught, one that he mentored. He was one of Paul's close associates. Paul sent him to Dalmatia. And Titus, he followed orders. But Paul still missed Titus and Timothy very much. See, I don't think we realize, because we have a local church and we have friends and Christian people that we can fellowship with and associate with, what a blessing that is. I think about this young man going into Peru, into the jungle areas. He may only have one other family or person that he can associate with. And a lot of our missionaries are like that. They're on the field. If they didn't have their church family, there's nobody else there for them. Sometimes they're on their own. So Paul was there, and he missed them very much while he was in prison. The next one he mentions as a man that stayed is Luke. Thankful for the good physician Luke in the Bible. The name Luke means actually a man from Lucana, which was in Italy. Some people believe he was a Greek. Some people believe he was of Jewish ancestry, and that he was he left the Jews in Jerusalem and settled down in Italy, where he was from. But no matter of that, his Greek, it marks him as a Jew from the dispersion, possibly living in Antioch. Many people think he lived there. He was with Paul in prison the first time that Paul was in prison, and now he's with him at his last imprisonment. We need to thank God for Dr. Luke. See, everything about Luke is positive. Paul leaves no negatives about Luke. Now, it takes a pretty good man to stand with an apostle that went through everything that he did. You say, well, how do we know that? Turn back to Luke chapter 1. You're going to hear a lot from Luke chapter 2 at this Christmas season, and we understand that. But in Luke chapter 1, he uses the first four verses. And because of his scientific training and his Greek training, he was very meticulous in what he wrote down. He gave many, many healings in the book of Luke. And he gave things in the book of Luke that we don't even know about Christ's birth. It's revealed in Luke. It's not revealed in any other of the Gospels. But it's very important for us to realize that because he was meticulous in details. Inspired of God, used his scientific background and his research, and he researched all this material. What he wrote down in the book of Luke and what he wrote in the book of Acts was not just off the cuff. He did the research, and I enjoy doing that. Sometimes Ms. Huber asked me the other week, do you know about arcing? And I said, I don't know about that name. Sometimes sparks fly at our house, if that's what you mean, arcing. But it's about when you look at a word in the scripture and it arcs over to another word and another word. And I said, oh yeah. I said, I do that. And I'll start studying, and this will lead to this, and this will lead to that. And I'll be out with pages. And I said, whoa, I need to get back to the point here. But that's what happens. Look, notice in Luke how he writes. He's writing to Theophilus here, which was a very known, well-known man. And he wanted some information about Christ and about what had happened. He said, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. He said, many people have done this and they haven't been real accurate. And you're going to hear some books, some apocrypha that's around in the scripture nowadays. The book of Philip and another book of James the second and all kinds. No. Luke said, I'm going to set it straight. This is what it is. Verse number 2. Even as they delivered them unto us. Who's the they he's talking about? He said, which from the beginning, they were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. He's talking about the apostles. He was interviewing them. He was picking their brains. He was listening to them. Because I'm sure, as Jesus did his miracles and the apostles were with him, who was the scribe that wrote everything down? They didn't have that ability like we do now. They don't have a pocket recorder. They didn't have computers where we can do that. So it had to be here in their minds and in their hearts. And by the Holy Spirit of God, as Luke got that, he wrote it down, inspired of God, because these were eyewitnesses. He said, this is what happened. I've interviewed them. Verse number 3, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. From Christ's annunciation. He said from the very first. And that's where he starts out in the first chapter of Luke. He said, I had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. To write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things. Therein thou hast been instructed. Aren't you happy for Dr. Luke? It's a great man of God that he put in position. Nothing is told about his conversion. Nothing is told about his prior life. But here, somehow, he understood, was saved, and he knew that Paul was going on these journeys. And he gave up his medical practice to go be with Paul. He could have been very influential, very wealthy. But he said, God's called me to do this, and I'm going with Paul. There's no negatives about him. He was Paul's companion and doctor. And at the call of the Lord, he left his life, what he had. He took his net, so to say, put him aside, and he followed the Lord. When Paul was in prison the first time, he was there. Now for the last imprisonment, he continued to teach and write down what Jesus did after he ascended to heaven through the Holy Spirit. A lot of people think that book is titled The Acts of the Apostles. No, that's the Acts of the Holy Spirit of God. It's not the Acts of the Apostles, because Paul's one of the few that are mentioned in there. But as God continued to work, as Christ worked through his church in the first century, Luke wrote the history of it. And he wrote the history of Paul as he went along with it. Thank God for Dr. Luke. Another man he mentions is Mark. Mark had a little problem. Mark's name means warlike. He liked to fight. He liked to battle a little bit. Mark was John Mark in the Bible, as we read in Acts. He was the son of one of the Marys, and we don't know which one. He's the son of one of the Marys in the New Testament, and he was a cousin of Barnabas, which was one of Paul's associates that he went on missionary journeys with. Tells us that in Colossians chapter 4. But he left Paul on one of the missionary journeys, the first one at Perga, and he returned to Jerusalem. Now, no real figures or explanation is given about why he did that. But Paul could not tolerate quitters. It's what he's telling Timothy through this whole letter. You stand fast, you run the race, you stay in your course, and you keep the faith. That's for you, and that's for us. And truthfully, God doesn't like quitters either. He wants us to finish strong. That's why the encouragement of his word. So Paul was upset and hurt about his defection on the missionary journey. And this caused a division between Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 15. And they separated ways and they were partners no more. Now, you say, well, that's kind of mean of Paul. That's just Paul's personality. He said, you're not going to stay strong. I don't want any part. I need some faithful people. I need a few good men. I need some faithful people to work with me. But Paul lived the words that he wrote and he spoke. Paul had forgiven Mark and he now accepted him. And he recognized that Mark was useful in the Lord's service. He worked with Mark. Now, Mark actually was one of the proteges of Peter. Peter and Mark, I think Peter, when Mark came back to Jerusalem, this is my own personal thing, I think Peter took him under his wing and he said, son, he said, I know you flubbed up. But he said, I did too. God can still use you. And he worked with him and developed him. And Paul and Peter, I think they conversations back and forth. And he finally came to the point, Paul said, I have to forgive him. But he's profitable to me in the ministry. He said, Timothy, when you come, when you go along the trail, you're going to pass by where Mark's at. You bring Mark. You tell him that I want him here for the ministry. He's going to be profitable to me. We're blessed to have the gospel of Mark. There he describes Jesus as the mighty worker and the servant. We're very fortunate to have Luke in his gospel depicting Christ as the human divine one. John shows him as the divine human one. So you see all the aspects of God using these men to write his word so we could have it. The next man he mentioned that stayed was Tychius. That name means fortunate. He was a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord in Colossians chapter 4, 7 and 8, and Ephesians 6, 21 and 22. He worked with Paul at Ephesus. Paul sent this man of Rome, he was back into Rome, he sent that man of Rome to the city of Ephesus. He, along with Onesimus, which we read in one of the letters, was entrusted to carry the Colossian letter to the people at Ephesus. You remember Paul in Colossians, he said, let this letter be read in Ephesus also? Well, he didn't just give that to UPS to take down there to the church. He said, this has to be trusted men. And that's who he trusted was Tychius. He was fortunate to be serving with Paul. So they took the Colossian letter to the people at Ephesus and the church there. And Paul felt that that letter would comfort their hearts. So he said, be sure what I wrote to the Colossians is read in Ephesus. And in return, he said, what I wrote to the church at Ephesus, you tell the church at Colossians. So they had copies of the scripture, was passed on. Just a side note, we have more manuscripts for New Testament scripture than they do for the oldest book that was ever printed and read in history. We just got them. I mean, it's God's word. The next man he mentions is Carpus. That term, that man is profitable. See, Paul had left his coat in his house at Troas. Now, this coat he's talking about was a very heavy wool coat that they used as an overcoat and a blanket. People didn't have a lot of clothing that they could take with them, and he had left that, I think. He might have been arrested at Troas. We don't know that, where Paul was arrested and brought to Rome. We think it might have happened there, and it might have happened quickly because he left his cloak there. So he's telling Carpus, he said, I've left his house at Troas, but Carpus stayed with me. The next man he mentions is Erastus. That name means beloved. Timothy and Erastus were together at Macedonia during the third missionary journey. We see that in Acts chapter 19. He'd become one of Paul's inner circle of companions, and Paul had sent he and Timothy to Macedonia to do the work. So don't you see how this is not a mission board. This is Paul getting directions from God and directing the men of God, which God had gave him, to go to these different areas to carry out the ministry and to be missionaries there. And because of his direction at the last chapter of Paul's life, I stand here today. Because some of those missionaries went to countries like Galatia and Gaul. And they went into England. And then England into the United States. And the gospel came to me here because of this man's faithfulness. Amen. Trace it all the way back. God knows what he's doing in his purpose and plan. The next man he mentioned that stayed is Trophimus. That means well-educated. Paul was in Jerusalem after the third missionary journey. And this man, Trophimus, was from Ephesus. And Paul wanted Timothy and the people at Ephesus to know what had happened to him. Now, Timothy became the pastor of the church at Ephesus, or elder, as it's referred to in the scriptures. So Trophimus traveled with Paul from Macedonia to Troas, and then to Miletus, or Miletum, as it's mentioned here in the scripture, where he was left because he was very sick. You know, sometimes you work with people and you wonder, how come these preachers, man, they get sick, they have strokes, and can't, he's sick. We don't always know. But isn't it very interesting that many in the early church had gifts of healing, and many were healed through prayers and faith, yet Trophimus was not healed? Doesn't that seem strange to you that one of Paul's great companions, a man that he loved, why didn't he heal him? Because the gifts of healing ceased. I can show you that in the scripture. There's places where it stops and it's not mentioned anymore. I don't think it was because Trophimus didn't have enough faith. That's what usually the story is. You're not healed because you don't have enough faith. I don't think that was the case at all. But it shows those gifts had ceased. But it also shows that some sicknesses that we have in life can have a purpose. They can be useful to God. Trophimus was not healed because God had another direction for him to go. And actually, he was ministered to by the saints at the church at Ephesus, because Miletum and Ephesus were about 30 miles apart. And Paul gave directions, you take care of the sick one. The church at Ephesus had an opportunity to minister to a sick person. God always has a purpose. We want to look just for a minute for those who stood. We had those who strayed, those who stayed, and those that stood. He tells Timothy in verse 9, come quickly. He really longed to see Timothy. But he says, when you come, bring the cloak, the books, and the parchments. At that moment, Paul didn't even have a cloak or an overcoat. He was in a cold place, and he couldn't even get warm. But Paul loved to read, and he asked Timothy to bring the books. I think the books that he had were actually parchments. The parchments is a word that's translated vellum. The parchments were skins of animals. Papyrus was some of it that they used. The vellum was the skins of animals. And he wanted those books that were bound. We don't know what they were. Many people think that they were manuscripts from letters that he had written or from the New Testament history. Many things that were important to him, but Paul read. I had a friend of mine, and we talk about friends. Brother Larry Stallings is in ministry with Bearing Precious Seed, been for years, good friend of mine. And Brother Larry would sit at my table sometimes and we'd talk and he'd say, you know, readers are leaders and leaders are readers. If you fail to do either one, you won't be a good leader. He also told me about friends. He said, Rich, he said, if I had my choice between $1 million and 1 million friends, I'd take 1 million friends. Because God can work through them. And if each friend has a dollar, you have $1 million. There's logic to that. But still in all, the friendship of people, and that's what Paul was referring to here. Those friends and colleagues that he had had through his ministry. He had come down to the point he needed to remember them and he needed to honor them. So Paul read, and he loved to read, and he said to Timothy, bring the books. With no one to talk to and no one of the synagogue to fellowship with, he was lonely. His first imprisonment, you have to remember, was house arrest. It's like a lot of our politicians go to federal prison almost. That's like house arrest. You know, they can do everything and go everywhere and they have a good time. No, this imprisonment was not like that. He was alone. He wasn't chained to a guard. He was in prison. He was in a cell by himself, and probably not allowed a lot of visitors. There were some, some people still stood with him. But notice he also asked for the parchments. That's a Latin word, and it's only used here in the New Testament. Many people think that those were blank parchments so that Paul could write. I don't know what all he wrote. Possibly some of the letters that he wrote from prison, we know that. But he could have wrote other things that would have been valuable in manuscripts. It was a man who could write, and he loved to write. He probably had much more to say and much more to give this world before he left. But he tells Timothy, beware of Alexander because of the damage he would do to Paul's instructions and the doctrines that he left. Now comes to some people that have been with him for some long time. He said, greet Prisca and Aquila. Prisca is a Latin term for Priscilla, and her name means ancient. Take that for what it's worth, men, but I think what that means is that she was steady for a long time, okay? Not ancient like we think about. I had a lady tell me the other day, she talked about Sarah when she was in Egypt and she was 84 years old, I think, and the Pharaoh still wanted her. She was beautiful. So you ladies, you got hope. Just think. I better leave that alone and get back to the lesson. But her name, she's named in Scripture before her husband. Both times. There you go. See, women's lib. God wrote it in his book. There's a reason for that, because that was unheard of at this time in history. You never put a woman's name before a man's. Okay, it doesn't happen. Mr. and Mrs., and it still carries, or it should. I don't have much time for these ladies that don't want to take their husband's name either. Sorry, that's just me, but that's just a side note. Here, she's mentioned before her husband in both times in Scripture, and the reason for that is because she had some qualities that put her right up there. See, there's no discrimination in God's service with men and women. Should I repeat that? I get no amens from the women? There's no discrimination. God counts them equally in his work. But Aquila, his name means eagle. The two of them, the husband and wife, they went to Ephesus after they and other Jews were expelled from Rome via Nero's command. If Nero didn't, first of all, he expelled the people, the Jews and the Christians that were there, and if they stayed, then he began to kill them in a number of different ways. But they were expelled, and they left. And they went to Ephesus, so they were familiar with Timothy also. And as a matter of fact, many people believe that Timothy was staying with them in their house. They were very gracious. They were hosts. They took care of people. You see that all the way through the Scripture. And many people think that Timothy was there as this was addressed to him. There's another person that he mentions that stayed. It was Onesiphorus. His name means beneficial. Paul spoke fondly of him earlier in the letter, and now the greeting he says to his household. That would include his family members and his servants, slaves, there are people to work for him. And it suggests that Onesiphorus had died and went on to glory. Because usually a greeting wouldn't be to a household, it would be to an individual. So here he greets his household, he tells them about his home. Both Paul and Timothy had lost a good friend. I wonder how many times in our service to the Lord as we work, we have fellow workers and they go home to be with the Lord. They're missed. Their energy and their input and their influence is missed. And Paul missed them too. He was gone, but Paul did not forget him. I want to be the same way. When I'm gone, I don't want to be forgotten. I want to be remembered for some good things, not all the bad things. Now he begins to talk about some Latin people that were there with him. These are Latin names. Eubulus is a female, which means good counselor. She was with Paul. She would come to visit him in prison there. Pudens is also a female. It means modest. And she also stood with Paul. Linus, a male's name, means linen or flax. He would help to cover Paul, help to keep him warm. And then Claudia is a female, which means preserving. So God put these people in place in Rome to help him while he was in prison. Then he gives a blessing in verse number 22. He said, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." See, Paul knew from the Lord that he needed to, and he was encouraging Timothy. Because Paul had stood, Paul was strengthened, and Paul was sustained. Look at verse number 18. He said, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom." We're going to go back to that just a little bit. But what he said, that at my first defense, no one stood with me. I started questioning it. I said, what in the world is he talking about? In Roman law, it's very much contemplated and very much like our laws in the country that we have in America. Matter of fact, our judicial system was kind of copied after the Roman law. In Roman law, if you were accused, you had a first hearing, which is what we call an indictment. That brings you in front of a magistrate or a group of judges, and they will determine if there's enough evidence for you that you should be charged with a crime. And they still do that. We call it now a grand jury. They indict people when they find the evidence is enough to indict them and bring the indictment. Paul said, at my first indictment, nobody stood with me. He said, I don't lay that to their charge. No doubt they were fearful, but he said, nobody really encouraged me when I was first charged. So now he's being held in prison. He's going to be brought before the Roman governors again, and he'll be determined to die. He knows that. That's why he said in verse 6, I'm ready to be offered up. He knew it was coming. So he knew the evidence, quote, that they had. But notice the evidence they had that he was a man of God, a servant of God, and a saved Christian going to heaven. Now, that condemned him to death. And there are countries in the world today, as we speak this morning, there are people that are dying in countries because of those very same things. It's happening today. It's never ceased. Satan has always tried to snuff out the gospel. Paul was abandoned. No one stood with him. But he was assisted and he was assured. He continued to adore his Lord and he was a fearless warrior. He was a forsaken witness at some times, but he was always faithful. He had some brothers that were around about him in his life. He had an allured brother, Demas, that was lured off into the world. He had an assisted brother in Carpus. He had an attacking brother, Alexander. He had an able brother in Tychius. He had an abiding brother in Luke that always stood with him. In those great words, only Luke is with me. He's still here. After everything, Luke's still here. He had an appreciated brother. That was Mark. He appreciated what Mark had done and how God had used him. And he had an assuring brother in Titus. In this chapter, the lives of four men are laid bare for us to look at. The first one is Paul. He began well, and he ended well. There was Demas. He began well, and he ended terribly. There was Mark, who began badly, but he ended up well. And then there's Alexander. He began badly, and he ended up badly. Sometimes I want to think about what my life would be revealed. What's my history? What's it going to be when I come down and I face the Lord, the great judge, at that day? What's he going to say about my life being laid bare? In the concluding remarks that Paul had, Paul knew that his past was victorious. He knew that his present state is peaceful. And he knew that the prospect where he was going was blissful. Most of the people in this world today, We spend much of our time in the accumulation of money and goods and luxuries, all kinds of protection, of all the things the world counts as valuable. Notice that Paul had lost it all. He was a Roman citizen, a rare honor to be born a free man at this time. And now he was a prisoner of the Roman Empire. He was an outcast on the verge of losing everything, even his own life. He had been a Pharisee, honored by his own Jewish nation. But now the very people of Israel that he loved and would have given his life for rejected him. Outwardly, many people regarded him as a failure. I can just see the people at Rome laughing and sneering. Look, this guy that was preaching around and been to Athens, look where he's at now. He's there in the prison cell. He's just wasting away. He is a big fake from the beginning. They wondered if his words were really true and the writings were factual and inspired of God through all the years, or was it just a fake? At the moment, he really didn't have even a cloak to keep him warm. Paul's most helpful friends were gone. Some were sent on missionary journeys and some just left. He was lonely, but God sent other people to be with him and to stand by him in his last hours. God had not forgotten his faithful servant, and he will not forget us. In his closing words, we can find faith. He says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed." We can find a hope that encourages us. God will bring me to his heavenly kingdom. And then the love for Christ. It calls out in Paul's utter adoration. And we see him as he's looking into heaven. And he says to him, "Be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let it be so, and it is so." Thank you.